Book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and a shout out to those that are watching us online. Children, you are now dismissed to junior church. Thank you for being a part of our worship service, children. We appreciate that. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10. And again, the shout out to those that are watching online. We love you and appreciate you and look forward to the time when we can worship face to face together. Hebrews chapter number 10, we're going to focus in on verse 36 through 39. As the children make their transition out, we are finishing up today the series, Why I Know. The reason I chose this series is because the people you work with, the people in your family, people that you go to school with, they've heard things about the Bible, and they sounded spiritual. They may even have been logical, but they were not scriptural. They are the people you work with, the people in your family. Some of you have had the privilege of going home and having time with your extended family out of state on your leave time and vacation, and that's wonderful. And if your family's anything like mine, you avoid certain conversations, certain topics, because you just, those two ways just can't come together. But the people you know have heard things on the internet and on TV and whatever, and they sound spiritual, but they're not scriptural. So our theme verse was 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where it says, "And sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That means put God first and be ready to give an answer. For what? An answer of the reason of the hope that lies within you. One of the greatest things that is overlooked is the fact that your friends see you as a peer and respect you. You have a specific rank, a specific title, or a specific place in their life. And what they see on TV that Christianity is portrayed as, and in history, they have a hard time sometimes squaring that with us. You know, they'll meet us and they'll be like, "Wait a minute, you're a captain and you're a Christian, yeah, or you're a sergeant, you're a Christian, or you've been married for X number of years and you're a Christian, yeah." And they have to square the fact that what they've heard doesn't line up with what is and is scriptural. And that's where God put you and I in their life, the reason you're here. Look, wherever you go, wherever the military or the government or your job takes you, you want to build a life. You're going to raise your kids. You're going to work on your marriage. You're going to do these things. But you're also there to be a witness. You're also there to be a living, breathing testimony of the reality of God and the truth of God. So that's why we need to know what it is we believe about God, and we need to know why we believe it. So today I want to talk to you about why I know Jesus is coming back. I've already covered why God, I believe God exists, and all of these messages are up on our website as audios and on YouTube and our channel as videos. But why does God exist? Why do I know that the Bible's true? Why do I know Jesus is the only way? Why do I know saved and I can't lose it? Why do I know tonight's message is why I know the government can't fix the world's problems. So come back tonight for that at 5:30. But today I want to talk about why I know Jesus is coming back. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. "For we have need of patience." We're here. Have you ever wondered why God didn't just take you to heaven? Because God has a job for you to do while you're here. "Now that you're saved, we need patience," which is the ability to endure by faith what we're dealing with. Look at it now. "For we need We are in need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." The promise God has made us is still coming. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." Why? Because we're waiting to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 38 says, "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." See, the return of Jesus Christ is an absolute must. The Bible, the church, the dead and living saints, heaven and hell, they all demand the return of Christ. There's going to be a final confrontation with Satan that can only take place after the return of Christ. And I love verse 37. "He that shall come," that's a definite. He that's coming will come. Now remember, the Bible says in Titus that God is not a man that he should lie. He said he's coming. Jesus is coming back. I know he is, because he has to fulfill the promises that he made in Scripture. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. I know that Jesus is coming back because he has to fulfill the promises that he has made. And remember, our Lord and Savior is the one who wrote the Bible. There are hundreds upon hundreds of Scripture on the reference of the return of Christ. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I'm going to fulfill everything the Old Testament said. And then look at this. He says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. I know Jesus is coming back because the Old Testament scriptures have stood the test of time. And listen to me. They stood the fire of the atheist who tried to burn the Bible out. They stood the fool that slanders it. They've stood the fury of the cults who slice and dice and sully the word of God. I know Jesus is coming back because the Bible says it over and over and over and over again. Now, he also has to finish the work that he started. Do you remember on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven? He's standing on the Mount of Olives. I've just recently found out that the trip to Israel is canceled. They've shut things down. They're not looking to open up Israel for this. So I'm like, I can't wait to stand on the Mount of Olives and see where Jesus left the ground. But it's coming. I'm going to go. So one of these days. But anyhow, Jesus ascended. Remember, but right before he ascended, he gave us a command. But ye shall be witnesses unto me. Here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Why give that command if he isn't coming back to inspect it? He gave us a command. He started something while he was here. Philippians 1:6 says that he that began a good work in us will perfect it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? The day he comes back. What he started with the church. Remember in Matthew 16 where Jesus said, and upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. None of this matters if he's not coming back. The works that he gave us to perform. You realize the reason he didn't take you to heaven because he's got something for you to do. Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's a purpose there that we should, and foreordained that we should walk in them. He gave us this. Why? Because he's coming back. He saved us. He's surely coming for us. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:23. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I know Jesus is coming back because the scripture said he would is. He did. What he started needs to be finished. Number three, he's going to take the sting out of death. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This, if you like talking about the second coming and the end times, this is a set of verses you need to become familiar with. I was at a birthday party yesterday for little Eliana, and I got to talk to her grandpa, and he was talking about how Christ is coming back. We're just having a conversation in the deck in front of God and everybody about how Jesus is coming back. People want to know what it's going to be like when it happens. Well, let me tell you something. He's going to take the sting out of death. Look what 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54 says. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that's this body that gets sick and dies, puts on incorruption, a body that won't get sick and die. This mortal, this body that dies, will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? If Jesus doesn't come back, he will not have taken the sting out of death. We were chatting out there on the deck, and he said, "There, I don't see any retirement in the Bible." I said, "No, I just see I'm going to expire. I'm not going to retire. I don't want to die. I want to fly. When Jesus comes, I want to lift off the ground when he comes." He is going to take the sting out of death. And I know Jesus is coming back because he said he was coming back. Take your Bible, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. A familiar portion of Scripture is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And that's why you hear me quote it all the time. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. This is John 14. John 14, 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house is many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Do you realize 318 references in the Bible to his return? 318 separate scriptures talk about his return. And Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. You can count on it. Now remember, this is the person who we've put our faith and trust in to save our souls. So if he was trustworthy enough to believe, to be our Savior, he's definitely trustworthy enough to believe he's the one returning to bring us home. He said, I'll come again. Did you know the last prayer in the Bible is Revelation 22:20, where the Holy Spirit cries out, even so come, Lord Jesus. He said he would. Now, I know Jesus has come back because he's going to foil the plan of Satan. Satan is not getting away with this. Look at Revelation 20, then verse 10. As bad as he messes with us, he is not getting away with this. Look at Revelation 20 and verse number 10. Revelation is the second easiest book to find. You don't need tabs to find Genesis or Revelation there at the front and the back. That's right. You don't need those fake little tabs. That's right. You can find it. Revelation 20 and verse number 10. Look what it says. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Cast. That means somebody grabs a hold of him by the scruff of the neck. It's going to be WWE SmackDown at the Great White Throne. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Look at this now. Now, I'm excited about that. Are you excited about that? I'm going to make regular trips to the bottomless pit and spit on his head. Look what it says here. Where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, you remember the first promise in the Bible, which was Genesis 3:15, that he would bruise the heel of Jesus, and he did that at Calvary, but that Jesus would bruise his head. That hadn't happened yet, but it's going to. Jesus is coming back to foil the plan of Satan. He's going to have to break Satan's hold on people. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. You ever talk to somebody about your faith and it's like you're talking like a deer in a headlight? You're talking to they just have these dead eyes of a doll, like a baby doll. You look into this glass and you're just like, you know why that is? It's because Satan has blinded them. Oh, pastor, you're being melodramatic. Well, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Otherwise, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. A rational thinking person, when they come to understand that hell is real, and I preached a whole message on how you know it's directly below your feet. Any rational thinking person, when they realize that the hell is real, they're a sinner, sin has a cost, and they're headed to hell under the condemnation of God, any rational thinking person would go, then I'll take Jesus. Thank you. I'll take Jesus. Right? The guy who was William Booth, or what was his name? General Booth, who started the Salvation Army. He said, if I could dangle a person over the pit of hell for 60 seconds, they'd be a soul winner for life. Because the reality of where they're going motivates them to tell others about Christ. But you talk to somebody, it's like looking in the eyes of a doll or deer in a headlight. And it just doesn't compute. Why is that? Because their eyes are blinded. And the only thing that takes that away is prayer. You've got to target them in prayer and beg God to pull down the stronghold, 2 Corinthians 10. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is a position of power, a position where he can attack people from. Now, that there are several people, and we all get them if we're not careful. That can be bitterness, anger. There can be an addiction. It can be false religion. Those strongholds support the big one, which is called unbelief. The number one reason why people die and go to hell is because of unbelief. Well, why is it they don't believe? Because they're too preoccupied with the stronghold of addiction or neglect or bitterness or anger or false religion. And they're just blinded and they can't see it. You got to pull those things down in prayer. Listen, God's not going to let that stand. Jesus has to return to break the hold that Satan has on people. He's going to be bound, Revelation 20, and cast into the bottomless pit. He also needs to reveal. He's going to come back. Why? So he can reveal to us his eternal plan for us. Look at Revelation 22. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Look at Revelation 22 and verse 1. Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, that's you and I, shall serve him. and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no more night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they, that's you and I, shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants. Listen, God has to send Jesus back. Jesus has to come back. Not only did the prophecies of the Old Testament declare it, not only did Jesus himself say he was going to do it, he's got to take the sting out of death. He's got to come back and break the hold of Satan because he said he would. He also needs to show us what he's got planned for us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He's going to show us and reveal to us when he comes back his glory. And we'll receive, we will be received by him. Is that a thought? That we'll be ushered into his very presence. And we'll be rewarded for our faithful service in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And verse number, chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Jesus has to come back. This hadn't happened yet. He's also, besides revealing his glory that and the plan he has for us, he's going to finalize the punishment of the sinner. Back in Revelation chapter 19, listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 19 and verse 11. The Bible reads, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, that's you and I, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The saddest day in a sinner's life is the day they stand before the great white throne. Revelation 20, there's 138 references to this, Old and New Testament alike. Look at this, Revelation 20 and verse 12. Actually, in verse 11, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you understand? This is the final punishment. The sin question is settled. Jesus has to come back. See, look, go to John chapter 1 real quick. Go to John chapter 1. Jesus first came unto his own, literally was born of a virgin and came to his own people, the Jews, first. Just like he was promised to do. Look at John 1 and verse 10. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. He came as a prophet. In Matthew 4:17, it says he preached repentance. But he also came as a lamb. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, this was all part of God's eternal plan for us, for the human race, for the world. He came not only as a prophet, but as a lamb. But he left here as a risen Savior. In Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again. And now he's our priest. He sits at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. He came unto his own. But now he's going to come back for his own. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You need to underline this. 1 Thessalonians 4. He came for his own, or came to his own. Now he's going to come for his own. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those that have died having trusted Christ as their Savior. Look at this. Them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died and rose again? Do you believe the gospel? Look at it now. So them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to go there without them. Look at this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Do you see that? He's going to raise the dead. Look at this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do you know why they rise first? They've got 6 feet farther to go. That's why. I know. I've already skipped 4 dad jokes. I had to throw one in, okay? The mixed family, I'm going to tell you something about my family. It's in our blood. The mixed family dream is to own a junkyard. Anybody else got that dream? I'd love a junkyard. We love it. The sister, Miss Debbie, you'd love living in a junkyard. Come on now, listen. There's always something to do, always something to tinker with. But what's really cool is you get one of those cranes that's got that big electromagnet, and you pick the car up and you set it in a crusher and they crush it down and you pick it up and you put it on a semi-truck and you haul it off. But what's left is all these little bits of fragments of the car. Some plastic, there'll be some tin and some aluminum and some chrome, but then there'll also be steel and iron there in the mud. And you take that electromagnet and you run it across there and it's incredible. The dirt just flies out of the way as the steel and the iron are irresistibly yanked out of the ground and caught up, captured by the magnetic field of that crane. I get the privilege of serving military families at Quantico and Arlington, and it's just, you know, row upon row upon stone. What do you think that's going to look like when the irresistible Jesus comes and they are pulled out of the ground, they are captured and carried away like a magnet and steel? You know, the magnet doesn't always pick up everything, of course. It only picks up the iron and the steel, that which is like the magnet that holds it. The things that aren't, plastic is not like the steel magnet. The tin, the aluminum, the chrome, those are not like the steel magnet. It's only the things that are like the magnet that get pulled irresistibly, uncontrollably from the ground. And that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back, because Jesus came unto his own, and now he's going to come for his own. That's the resurrection of the dead. See, if you're heaven-born, then you are heaven-bound, and not gravity or the grave will hold you when Jesus comes. But that's not it. That's not all that's going to happen. What's so cool is you can keep your hand there in 1 Thessalonians 4. You go back to 1 Corinthians 15. He's going to rejuvenate our body. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I don't really like to work out. I know that shocks you. I'm not big into workouts. I'm not big into walking and things of that nature. But God is going to rejuvenate this body. You realize your body is not suited for eternity in heaven. Your body is not suited for an environment that is pure holiness and pure righteousness. This body is not suited for that. It has to be changed. He's going to rejuvenate the body. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the theme verse for our nursery ministry. They'll not all sleep, but okay, there's another dad joke. All right, I've already skipped 4 or 5. You got to give me 1 or 2 here, okay? We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die, be dead when Christ comes. But we all, whether we are on top of the ground or under the ground or under the ocean, doesn't matter. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We will be rejuvenated. We'll have the rapture, and at the moment we are pulled from the ground, we will be changed, and we will be received by our Savior. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17, it says, then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you realize you're going to see those that you know who have passed away that know Jesus? You understand that? I mean, if your mama was saved, you're going to, and dead, but she's going to see her. She's going to come up out of the ground. She's going to be changed. You know, nobody in heaven has a walker or a cane. Nobody in heaven looks like they did when we put them in the ground. They come out perfect. The Bible says that when, you know, what's this new body going to be like? Well, the closest thing Jesus could explain it with is, have you ever planted seed corn in your garden? Yes, no, nobody else does gardens around here. No wonder America's going to hell in a handbasket. No, seriously, you put a seed in the ground. That which comes out of the ground is not that seed, is it? You put like a corn in the ground, and out comes this glorious stalk that's 4, 5, 6 feet tall, and on that stalk is 2 or 3 ears with a couple of hundred kernels of corn on each one and big, beautiful leaves and tassels and what have you. That which you put in the ground cannot even be compared to the glory of what's about to come out and be changed. Do you understand? When I say rejuvenate the body, we're not all going to be 6'4" and 290 pounds. You know, no, we're not going to look like that. What's coming out of the ground when God raises us is so much grander and glorious than what we put in the ground. You can't even compare the two because they'll be so, they won't look like each other. You'll know it's you and you'll know it's me, but it'll be more awesome than that. And we'll be received by our Savior. Happy to see us when in the clouds. Paul said, not only did Jesus said he was coming, Paul said, it's the Lord himself. The angels, on the day Jesus ascended, here's these 11 apostles. I can only imagine, they're standing on the Mount of Olives and their mouth is open as they watch Jesus. I mean, how many times have you seen somebody ascend into the air? Why would you look? You'd be like, and two angels show up and say, this same Jesus will come again in like manner. You're going to see him come from the clouds and touch down. You know, and it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Have you ever asked yourself why the Song of Solomon is in the Bible? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever read it? It's evocative. It's pretty. Yeah. Okay. So your imagination runs wild, right? But it's the picture of a lover of Solomon the king coming to pick his lover up and take her away, to take her off to the to be married and to have the honeymoon. It's that come away. So in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "My beloved spake, and he said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me." That's why it's in the Bible. Because that's the shout you're going to hear from the clouds of glory when Christ comes in the air. Come away with me. We are his bride to the marriage supper line. Come away with me, my love. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, with the voice of the archangel will shout, Matthew 25:6, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's the shout from the voice of the archangel. And then the trump of God. See, in Numbers, chapter number 10 and verse 9 and 10, the shofar horn was used for two reasons. One, it was to assemble to go to battle. But it was also used to assemble and come meet with God. To come meet your God face to face. Every Sabbath they blow that horn. And we used to have bells. Remember churches that used to have bells, but neighbors got tired of the noise? It was a call to worship. You're going to hear the trump of God, which is the call to meet your Maker face to face. See, we're going to be rescued. Because the great tribulation is coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. I believe we're going to be pulled out of here before the great tribulation. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to have tribulation. Because the 55 million plus martyrs that have died from the time of Christ until now prove that you may not make it out of this life alive of your own steam. You may die. You may not die of natural causes. But there's a rescue coming. And there's a reunion because we'll be meeting him in the air and there'll be a reception. And we're going to, he's got to come. Now, this is the thing. He came unto his own. Now he comes for his own. But then he will come back with his own. Revelation 19 and verse 13 through 17, I've already read it. We come back with him on white horses. How do we know that's true? Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, where you're at, verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. Even so, just in like manner, it applies to you. Them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See, this same Jesus was literally born of a virgin. People question that. And we've talked about that in the Deity of Christ message a couple of weeks ago. Well, how do you know he was born? Listen, if God can speak it all into existence, he don't have any problem having Jesus born of a virgin. That's a simple task. He spoke the world into existence. How much more can he handle a birth of a child without a human father? It's easy. It's easy. The same Jesus who literally died and rose again bodily. We're talking about the same Jesus will come again. You see, the incarnation of Christ without the coronation of Christ is not a life worth celebrating. And our salvation without our glorification is no salvation at all. There are churches that teach that you go into soul sleep or you go into soul annihilation to where you don't actually exist after you die. That is not true. His resurrection is the pledge that we will resurrect. So I'm sure he's coming back. Why? Because the Bible says so. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. One third of the Bible references this second coming. The first and last promise in the Old Testament was his first coming. The first and last promise in the New Testament is of his second coming. Well, preacher, aren't the signs of the times enough? Yeah, but no. What do you mean? Well, when you see Christmas decorations in the store, what does that mean? Christmas is coming? No, Halloween is just around the corner. That's what that means. Right? Huh? So, yeah, the signs are there. Jesus is coming. But if you're born twice, you will only die once. But if you were only born once, you will die twice. And if you die twice, you'll wish you were never born at all. Because Christ is coming. And our hope, I want you to understand this, our hope, that expectation of good and not evil from God, is not just in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty now and now. 1 Peter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. That means it won't fade away. It's undefiled and can't fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Are you ready? I mean, some of you are probably going to have people over to your house today. We used to do that. We used to do it a lot. And I love having people over. And if you knew people were going to come over, what would you change? Or what if I walked up to you and said, hey, brother, listen, thanks for inviting us. We'll be right over after church. What would you do? What would you change? You'd race home. What would you do? Oh my gosh, we left. How many of you leave for church on Sunday morning and leave a whirlwind behind? Like the windows and doors were open during the storm last night. That's what it looks like, you know? No, seriously. If you knew Jesus was coming back today, what would you race home and change? Would you go refresh your search engines? Would you dump your cookies? What would you do? You understand, we know that Jesus is coming. We don't set a date because that's against the Lord. But we know that he's coming. And every day that marches by is one day closer to the Lord's return. You know, we look around us. You know, we recognize the fact that people will say to us, well, it's been 2,000 years. Congratulations, you just fulfilled prophecy. Because the Bible said 2,000 years ago that in the last days scoffers would come, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things have continued as they were from the beginning. Congratulations. Ms. Mixon and I will talk about this to people, and people are like, well, you know, everybody thought they were living in the last days. Congratulations, you just fulfilled prophecy. you know, your kids are going to go to school in the next 2 weeks. And they're going to be bombarded with ungodly ideals. But the Bible said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. They saw them. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, listen, there are going to be people who will not stand for sound doctrine. He said, get used to it. It's coming. Now, we never dreamed that you and I would be the generation that would preside over the downfall of the United States and the earth in general. But somebody's going to, and it might as well be us. And why are we shocked that this was prophesied we'd live in days like these? You know, just as it was prophesied that we'd live in a day like this, we were prophesied that we would see the Lord come. Are you ready to receive the Lord? The Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I looked it up on Google, and of course, everything on Google is accurate, right? Well, the Google said you blink your eyes 20,000 times a day on average. That means there are 20,000 individual opportunities for Christ to come back every single day. Are you ready? Are you saved? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember how you got saved? Are you saved? Are you going to be happy to see him? Are you serving? You know, you were left here for a reason. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it said, therefore, because you know he's coming, because you're going to rise from the grave, because your body's going to be rejuvenated, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know, for as much as you know not, or you know that your labor is not in vain, that what you're doing for Christ is not a waste of time. You know, the Bible also says we're to be serving and we're to be separate from this world. We're to be holy. Like the steel and the iron are of the same nature as the magnet, we are to be of the same character as our Savior. And that's why it says in Matthew 24, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he look not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware of. Are we ready for the arrival of Christ? Are you ready for the Lord's return? You are now going to get an opportunity to make sure you're ready. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to come on and step out and let me pray with you here at the altar and show you how to be ready spiritually. But let me ask you a question. I think I know the testimony of most people in this room. Are you ready? Are you clean? Are you right with the Lord? Should he come, and he will come, and he will come unexpectedly, are you right with him? Have you confessed your sin? Have you forsaken it? You don't earn salvation. I'm talking about walking in fellowship with the God who's already saved you. Are you ready for his arrival? Our Father and our God, we love you. And I'm thankful for the promise we have in Scripture, the promise of our Savior and the apostles, the promise that even the angels have spoken, that your Son is coming. And today, as the Holy Spirit said in Revelation 22, even so come, we're ready. Give us an opportunity to be right with you. If there's one among us that's lost, give them the opportunity now, today, to trust your Son as their Savior, to trust his blood as payment for their sin. And for us who have, let us take the opportunity now, Holy Spirit, speak to every heart and every soul that we might be right with thee and clean and ready for thee in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar is open today. Won't you come pray with me? Won't you come and do business with God? Won't you come and be ready for his return?
Life is filled with guns and wars, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread would buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready, and there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Die to self, be filled with the Spirit. That's the answer to everything.
Mary lies asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head.
there's a day coming.
I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all
are the people in your life ready?
Ready. And there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. There's no time to change your mind.
Are you ready?
The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Our Father and our God, I'm thankful for the warning of Scripture. I'm thankful, God, for the good news of Christ's coming. The world at large does not care, but it's because they don't know you, and they're blinded to it. Let us be the one that tells them. Let us be your useful tool, your useful vessel to carry the gospel to those who don't know. Let them see it in our lives. Let them experience it in interactions with us. And Father, may they ask us of this hope. Let us share our faith with them. If it weren't for somebody sharing it with us, God, where would we be? And today, as your people, we're ready. We love you. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Yes.